For devotional this morning, I'd like to think about opening my heart to God. I'd like to think about repentance a little bit. In December of 1952, in London, Londoners woke up to a beautiful, clear day. It was a cold winter day, and it was a nice day. People went to work. After a while, fog came rolling in off the North Sea, and this was normal. Got thicker and thicker, and this is normal. Londoners are proud of the way that they can deal with their fog. Got so thick that trams stopped running. The only transportation that could, public transportation that could go anymore was the London Underground, because nothing else could see to find their way through the streets. People would go out and that were familiar with a certain part of the city, and they would help lead motorists down these roads. It was so thick that everybody had their headlights on and they still couldn't see, but it was all right. It was normal. We're used to this. This is they call it a pea soup fog. It was just so thick and had this strange kind of yellowish tint to it. But after a while, it became apparent that this fog wasn't totally normal. People started getting sick. People started coughing. People started dying. They call it the Great London Smog of 1952. And over the course of roughly 5 days, between December 4th and December 9th, up to 12,000 people died because of this smog. It wasn't normal. Something had gone wrong. This thick fog had combined with all kinds of airborne pollutants that normally they didn't think about. Chimneys that were belching coal smoke, which was their main source of heating and fueling their industry. Vehicle exhaust. All sorts of these things that normally they didn't think about. The wind blew them away. Suddenly the wind wasn't blowing them away anymore, and this fog was trapping them, and the fog became toxic. It was so bad that people running their hands over their door frame, even inside the house, would come away with this thick, sooty residue on their hands. And then on December 9th, midway through the day, the wind changed, and in a matter of hours, fog was gone. But it left, well, at least 12,000 people, or some estimates up to 12,000 people dead. Lasting health effects for everybody that had gone through it. Many birth defects in years to come from the results of this fog. And I'd like to think about that a little bit and the response that happened with that fog. The change from this is normal to this is not normal to we need to deal with this. And as a result of the Great London Smog of 1952, there were many Clean Air Acts that were passed, and there's never been that sort of an event to that extent happen in the UK since then. If you would, turn with me to Acts chapter 3. I'm going to read a few verses out of here. And this is Peter and John preaching to people. After they had healed a man, after Peter had healed a lame man, and the wonder that people had through it, and Peter used it as an opportunity to take them from this is normal to do you realize who you just crucified? And the verses I'm going to read here are verses 17 through 21. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before showed you by mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Said, I know that you did this through ignorance. You thought this was normal. But ignorance of our real condition can be fatal. And it often comes to us, I think, through complacency. Or maybe us thinking that this is something that doesn't apply to me. This fog is something that I can deal with. This is something that's not unusual. But the normal becomes deadly. In Ezra 9, we see a state of people who were comfortable in their sin. And as a result of that, God was withdrawing his presence from them. And what more lonely or deadly place could there be than that without the presence of God? And I was talking to someone about this here some weeks ago, that the judgment of God, often we think of that as something, he's going to come down on me, there's going to be a strike. We think of God maybe as standing over us with a stick. When the judgment of God is often simply a removal from his presence, he removes himself from us, and that is judgment when we no longer have the presence of God. In this fog, there was a change of perception. They realized, this is not normal. This is deadly. We need to do something about this. Realizing both the danger and the need. And both components there are important. You can recognize that something is dangerous, but if you don't know that that means you need to get away from it, that recognition of danger does nothing for you. You need to know that something is dangerous and also have a plan to get away from that. In Ezra 9, verse 6, Ezra said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. Ezra was one that clearly understood our position relative to God's position. And in society, it's a very popular thing to try to bring God down to our level. And we're going to have this conversation with God, and God's going to be our buddy, and we're going to tell him kind of how we want him to orient things for us here. And he's going to bless that. Ezra makes it very clear that in repentance, there is no such thing. And it's only when we get to that point that Ezra was, that God can work. And he can work earlier in us, in turning us to him, but it's only now when we open ourselves to him and recognize our need that his work is going to be evident, the work that he's been doing to that point, that we're going to actually recognize that. And that's the beginning of meaningful change. And it's also a decision point for us. What am I going to do with my new perception now? I recognize that this is dangerous. This is not normal. What am I going to do with that perception? And there's work that I have to do. I believe that repentance is opening myself to God and to his truths, at least in part. In doing that, I see my need. I understand the futility of trying to progress on my own. And I prepare my heart or open my heart for the work that Christ will do in me. We also see that repentance brings healing with it. Turn with me over to Mark chapter 6. Here we have Christ sending out his disciples two by two to preach. And I'd like to look at what he told them to do, what he told them to say, and then what the results were. Mark chapter 6, start in verse 7, read through verse 13. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only. And I've done a study on staff, because I've wondered before, why did Christ here tell them to take a staff? I mean, what was the point? But if you look at through Scripture, the way that a staff is used, it's a symbol of authority. If you look at the way Moses used it and so forth, it's a symbol of authority. So essentially, Christ is saying, I'm sending you forth. All you need is my authority. So save a staff only. No scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. So they preached repentance, and those that opened their homes to hear received miraculous healing. Now, we don't know, it doesn't say how far these people went with that, but it does say the ones that don't hear you, you leave. In other words, the ones that didn't hear didn't receive healing. So by contrast, then, we know the ones that received healing at least heard what they had to say. We don't know how far they went in their personal repentance, but they opened their heart to that possibility, and they experienced miraculous healing. And that's what repentance does for us. When we open our hearts to God, we can experience healing. But there are still effects that remain. Repentance clears our sin before God, but it doesn't necessarily erase the results physically and emotionally of that sin we may have committed. Just as after this smog had cleared, there were generations, future generations, that were affected, even though they hadn't been born at that time. So our sin and our lack of repentance can hurt not only myself, but it can hurt other people as well. And repentance is something that is ongoing. Repentance clears our sin with God, but it does not clear our sinfulness. And I want to clarify that a little bit, because I believe that a changed life, a life that's given over to God, there is a change in the sinfulness in which we don't live in sin. However, our human nature is something we still live with. Repentance is not something that's simply a one and done, is simply what I'm saying. It's not something that we repent at our time of conversion, and from that point on, we no longer need repentance. That once covers it. Repentance must be a lifestyle, as it says in Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Repentance is not only for conversion. It's not only for when someone has backslidden or gone into gross sin. But repentance is also for what I'm going to call our daily complacencies. And maybe we should just call them sin. But for things like grudges that I hold, I need to repent. For selfishness that I have, I need to repent. For carnality that I have, I need to repent. For materialism that I have, I need to repent. For pride in my life, I need to repent. For maybe simply a refusal to look at my current state and say, this is normal. This fog, this is normal. I need to repent. And you can carry on that list. You know the things that you each face. Each of us faces perhaps different temptations in different ways and at different stages in life. But it needs to come back to the point that daily we must open our hearts to God. And that is living in repentance. We open our hearts to God daily, and we do it continually. And I'd just like to challenge us this morning to open our hearts to God. Hear what he has to say to us. And if we truly open it, that means we're going to listen honestly as God speaks truth to us. Be willing to repent of sin and of those daily complacencies. And through that, we'll find healing if we open our hearts to the realities of God.